Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, there's a virus by the name of Corona that has our world's attention. For us individually and from every continent of the land. When I arrived in the outpost airport of Ndola, Zambia a few weeks ago, the person greeting us on the tarmac had a mask on. The sense of there's a threat and we're not sure what we'll do with this threat, and so we're trying to learn as we go. It began at a place called Wuhan, but it can be touching every country. And in this is an awareness that each of us need to use good hygiene. We need to practice good judgment. We pray for medical and scientific breakthrough. We pray that we will all use good practices. We also know that this touches the economy of our nation and for our world. And we know that we can pray for those directly who have been infected and for those communities and families directly impacted. But we're also threatened to be kidnapped by fear. We are alarmed, but we are not to be petrified. We are alarmed to know that there is a threat, but there are threats everywhere, every day. And that each of us already know that there is a limit how long we will live on earth, and that we want to be faithful to live as well and healthily for as long as we can. But because we have been set free, that we have been set free by the one who has overcome death, we have been set free by the one who willingly gave his life on the cross for the virus of sin. Because this one known as Jesus stepped into our world knowing it would require his life, his death, that he then would be able to show us the gift of a cure for the sin that infects all of us. This Jesus is the one who brings our whole life together. And this Jesus is the one who enables us not to be petrified in the midst of alarming circumstances. This Jesus is the one who enables us to be centered in an uncentered world and to help others to feel comfortable in the midst of being aware. I mean, I'm paying attention to you. Would you rather do, a pump fist? Would you rather do a elbow fist? Are you open to a hug, the handshake? Encouraging all of us to make sure that we have our hand sanitizer and using good practice. But what we don't want to do, we don't want to get isolated. When we get isolated, then the evil one will begin to win the day. And so Jesus came to create community in the midst of the difficulty. You know, recent research I read out of Harvard, is that social isolation, someone who is in the midst of social isolation, is as dangerous health practice as somebody who smokes 15 packs of cigarettes a week. It is dangerous because God intended for us to be a community of people. And how do we do this? Well, we do it by way of the story that Randy and Nancy read for us. We do know the story as we head towards Easter. We're looking at the relationship of a community of followers of Christ called disciples. That is that today is in every land, in every country, in every skin color, in every language, every ethnic group. This incredible story of a community of people who are followers of Christ. And it began when Jesus stepped into the time of earth. And when he arrived and his cousin John the Baptist began to preach this message, and the message kind of caught attention, John the Baptist then saw Jesus and said, "There is the Lamb of God. Go now and follow him." Andrew was one of those people who had followed John the Baptist, and in doing so, he began to follow Jesus. And the first thing that Andrew did is he went and got his brother, Simon Peter. Peter, the one that we know so well, this well-known apostle. But Andrew, his brother's first response was to go and influence his brother to see Jesus. Somewhere in the world, someone is writing on a sheet of paper, and they're asked the question, who are the 10 people who have influenced you? Would you show up on somebody's list? And if somebody asked the question, who influenced you to know who Jesus is? Would your name show up on that list? My challenge to you, and our challenge together with each other, between now and Easter, that it will be clear that your name is on someone's list because you have shown them Jesus. You have shown them by your life. You've shown them by your words. You've connected the dots. You brought it together where they may see this Jesus. Now, the influence of Andrew is that he grew up in a community called Bethsaida with his brother Peter. And there's another fellow there by the name of Philip. So we see in the Gospel of John where the story of Philip and Andrew are told in a few verses, the verses that we can overlook, but if we pay attention to these verses, we see the power of influence of ordinary people with an extraordinary faith. John 12:22 puts it this way, that in a certain scene, Philip then went to Andrew, and Andrew and Philip together went and told Jesus that there were some people who had showed up in the temple and they wanted to see him. Sir, the Greek said, we want to see Jesus. Now, what was going on is that Jesus had done his 3 years of public ministry and his crescendo because he had made it clear that everyone is in need of God's grace and that God's grace is equally available to everyone and not just some people. And that the people who are the power brokers of the temple needed to repent, just like the people of the villages. There was a power movement to kill him. And God would use that in a way that our sins could be forgiven on the cross. What wondrous love is this? But in the temple, there were some Greeks who came, and they couldn't quite get into where Jesus was because they were excluded. They were on the far outside of the entranceway of the temple because they weren't Jewish. And so they went to Philip and Andrew, and why? But they saw something in these two men that they could trust that would get their heart desire connected to the one whom they most wanted to talk with and to see, and that was Jesus. So that's the kind of influence that we may all have, that someone may see in you some connection to this Christ, that whatever's occurring in their life, that they can come to you and that you can show them Jesus. I shared this Wednesday at our Ash Wednesday service. A friend of mine who'd been at an Ash Wednesday experience in her Catholic parish earlier in the day was told the story about a friend in New York City who was a priest at St. Mark's Catholic Church, and he was walking along the busy thoroughfare there in Manhattan, and a guy came up next to him and had pulled out a gun, put it right in his chest, and said, give me your wallet. Well, the man was disturbed, and so he reached for his wallet, and then the robber, the armed robber, realized this guy's a priest. You know, he's not just some old guy on the street. This is a priest that he's robbing, asking for his wallet. And he said, oh, Father, I'm so sorry. True story. I'm so sorry. So sorry. And so the priest is pretty shaken up, as I would be, and he reached in his pocket and pulled out a cigarette and was going to smoke to calm himself down, and he offered a cigarette to the thug. And the guy said, oh, no, Father, I gave up cigarettes for Lent. You know, something was missing in the translation of what all this meant, kind of connecting the dots of what it means. I trust the priest went on to say, he said, let me tell you what really is going on. here. What's really going on is that you can have a relationship with the Christ that you won't go around robbing people, and then I can show you how you can know this Jesus that would really change your life. See, the people who think they get it, but they're missing this connection directly to who the Christ is. Now, I don't get everything. None of us do. But what we all can get is to be able to see this direct relationship by which then we can see everything else more clearly. Well, in Phillips and Andrew, what we can see are three things. We see a friendship connection. That Philip and Andrew, they were friends together. And that the friends have shared in life together. And in sharing in life, they trusted each other and they were able to build on that friendship. We're grateful to God for that. In the midst of this, then we make good things happen by friendship introductions, introducing people to each other as a friend. Here's my friend. I would like for y'all to meet each other. And then in the midst of that, who's always present is Christ is present. You know, Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them, of you. And so we may be rooting for the Bears or the Spurs or whoever. And in the midst of that, we can know that there's something larger going on in our lives that can make sense of everything else. And that's who this Jesus is. In the midst of the panic and the fear of a coronavirus, there's this Jesus who's not scared at all because he's been on the cross. He has given himself for the very moment that we would realize how much we need him. Your influence right now in our world is so important. And using your influence in the lives is critical. So Philip, like Andrew, from this town of Bethsaida, they continue to grow their friendship through Christ. That's the greatest way to grow a friendship. Yeah. There was some members from a church who went on a cruise, and while they were on that cruise a while back, they were at a table with some other people, and they discovered that they were all members of Trinity Baptist Church, which is good. I'm glad they connected with each other. But part of that is our saying to each other is there's a friendship opportunity for us to look around and connect with each other. And then who's going to be sitting next to you on Easter Sunday? Who are you going to invite to be with you on Easter Sunday? That's the kind of influence that creates this transformation. In 1966, we began an influential relationship ministry called Alpha Home. Dangie Lowry, who has been our retiring COO, a remarkable lady of transformation through Christ, is going to be sharing a little later in our service. She herself experienced the grace of Christ and healing through Alpha Home, and then stepped into the leadership as a healed person to help hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other people to be healed. Well, this past Thursday for San Antonio, the Alpha Home, which is much larger than Trinity Baptist Church, but we're in the heartbeat of who it is, had a luncheon, and people from around the city came to the luncheon as an opportunity to tell a story. And there was the influence of a Mackenzie Phillips, an actress who also now leads a rehab program in Los Angeles, telling her story with a news anchor, Steve Spreester, who dedicated his time to help tell the story, influence, using the influence of their life story in their position to be able to let the good news to be known that there is a home that you can come to and be healed by the wounds that hurt us. And you see a photograph at the top of some of the Alpha Home graduates proudly wearing their alumni shirt. That the sense of befriending and being friends with each other and reaching out and letting others know the opportunity which is there. See, my name's Les Holland, and I'm a sinner saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. And every day it's his grace that makes me whole. And I have a good news story that I'd like to share with you. Each of us are in that same place out of our need, and that's what makes us strong with each other. So we have a friendship connection out of our common need and our life story, and then that transforms us into a generosity, the sense of opening ourselves to the goodness of God and to share the goodness of God with others. That's the story of the little boy. And so Jesus, early in his ministry, I think, was looking to seeing thousands of people on the hillside. And he looked at Philip, and he could tell that Philip was kind of thinking, how are we going to feed all these people? And what is Jesus going to do? And I think with a very mischievous smile on his face, Jesus looked at Philip and said, Philip, where can you go buy enough food for everybody? And Philip was just stressed out. He said, this is on me? He said, we could use a half a year's wages and not have enough to give a bite to everybody. And I pictured Jesus just kind of smiled. Now, this is when a friend in need came up to that moment for Philip. And Andrew then showed up, and he said, Jesus and Philip, let me tell you, there's a little boy here, and I don't know what's going on, but he offered me his sack lunch. 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. He offered me the sack lunch. I don't know what you can do with it, Jesus, but here it is. See, that's what Jesus wants you to say. Jesus, I don't know what you can do with me, but here I am. I don't know what you can do with this gift, but here it is. And what the little boy said, here is all of this gift that we can give. The offerings in our church are about being able to give generously so that we may give generously the gospel at a time that our world desperately needs it. Your giving, your generosity spreads that generosity in the lives of others. And here's this little boy, and he gives it. And so Jesus, then I can really smile. I picture him looking at that little boy and putting his arm around him and said, let's see what we can do with this. And you know the story. Everybody was fed. It was an amazing story. But it began out of people coming together, out of their relationship, Andrew and Philip and a little boy, and giving their pressure and stress, their questions, but giving their faith of what they had to see what God would do. Don't hold back today. God didn't want you to have it all figured out before you come to him, because you can't do that. None of us can. But to come and give who you are now, trusting in him, and let him show you what he can do. Thirdly, there's a guide, making sense of what is happening. That is what we can do in our influence. We can help others to understand what's occurring. We can guide them through the experience. You know, dear friend Richard back there just shared the story with me that when last year when I challenged us to read the Psalms, he not only read the Psalms, but he just kept on reading the Bible. He kind of got caught in it. It was like, it was contagious, and he's been reading through the scriptures since then. And I got his permission and to tell the story, and that every morning when he looks, sees the photograph of his wife who died a few years back, wonderful woman, and he looks at a little writing that I have, and then he opens, he said, I don't always feel like doing it. But I do it, and when I finish, I'm always glad I did it. It's just a way of being in God's presence and feeling the touch of what happens when we just come in God's presence. That's the power of experiencing in such a way that then we can be that influence in the lives of others by how we have been with God. We'll be all the more ready not only to live this week because we have worshiped together, but you'll be ready to help guide people. And when the Lord urges you to say, you know, go ahead, you can add one more sentence to that and say there's a connector to who Christ is. That is, I do this because it's the right thing to do, and also because God has just given me the awareness that this is what I should do. And so I do this. And that catches people's imagination. So when this happened and Jesus responded, it was said that the voice of God spoke and said, "My name is glorified. And Jesus, you have glorified me." And some heard it, and others only heard thunder. What do you hear? See, what Andrew and Philip were able then to say, no, that's not just thunder. That was a voice of God that was speaking. Last night in our bedroom, granddaughter's sleeping with me, so which means you don't sleep much, you know. And I don't know, it was like 1:30 or 2 in the morning, and I think I heard 5 gunshots go off. I don't know if they were gunshots or not, but I'm going to check it out. Then I heard a train. You know, the train's not far away. Heard a lot of things. Probably heard that skunk that's coming around Monta Vista that we smell here. And, you know, just a lot of things that we can hear. But do we know what it all means? And so what a guide does is to say, God is with you right now. Feel him, see him. Because this is who you really want. Oh, so be it. To be that influence. To lead people to Jesus. Let's pray. We're about to sing, and in the sing is a response to the time that we can in this worship for people to walk forward, come down the aisle. And to have pray, or to say, Lord, I give my life to you. I trust you. I see you, Jesus. I trust you. Or to join in the life of Trinity Baptist Church. Lord, we're not going to backpedal in this time of history. We're coming right into your presence through Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.